ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीनारद उवाच इथावद्वर्णिता गुणो भक्त्या भक्तेन निर्गुणः प्रसादं रणतं प्रीतो यत्तं मान्युरभासत। The great Saint Narada said, "Thus Lord Narasimhadev was pacified by the devotee Prahlad Maharaj with prayers offered from the transcendental platform. The Lord gave up his anger in being very kind to Prahlad, who was offering prostrated obeisances. He spoke as follows, purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada." The word nirguna is important. The Mayavadi philosophers accept the absolute truth as nirguna or nirakara. The word nirguna refers to one who possesses no material qualities. The Lord, being full of spiritual qualities, gave up all his anger and spoke to Prahlad. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Prarada Badra Badram Te Prito Ham Te Surotama Varam Vrishi Swabhimatam Kamapuro Smyaham Ninarnam. The Supreme Personality of God had said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is known as Bhakta Batsal, the Supreme Personality who is very much affectionate to his devotees. It is not very extraordinary that the Lord offered his devotee all benedictions. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, in effect, "I fulfill the desires of everyone. Since you are my devotee, whatever you want for yourself will naturally be given. But if you pray for anyone else, that prayer also will be fulfilled." Thus, if we approach the Supreme Lord or his devotee, or if we are blessed by a devotee, naturally we will automatically achieve the benedictions of the Supreme Lord. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that if one pleases the Vaishnava spiritual master, all one's desires will be fulfilled. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, "My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of the Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastime to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled." We are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, entitled Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. text, 51 and 52. We are coming to the culmination of one of the world's greatest love stories. The love between Krishna and his devotee. And the nature of that love is reciprocation, with the exclusive desire to satisfy the object of love. Where there is selfishness, to that extent, it is kama, or material love, lust. To the degree it is selfless, from the spiritual platform, it is pure love, prema. At the beginning, Prahlad was conceived by Hiranyakashipu. Usually it's like father, like son. His uncle, Hiranyaksha, very, very powerful family. So fearful were the demigods that this son will be equal to or more horrible than his father. That they kidnapped the wife of Hiranyakashipu when he was away from home with the intent to murder the child when he's still an infant, when he can't fight back. Because after he grows even a little, they feared no one will defeat him. So the love story in this context begins here. Essentially, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sajja Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhijuti Koriya Yudoi. It is our original nature to love God. And God loves every living being. Aham Bija Pratapita. Krishna says, I am the father of all living beings. I am the mother of all living beings. Now, when Krishna says this in Gita, it can be understood from different platforms. On one level, you can say, Krishna says he's the father of living beings. That means everyone's coming from him. He's the origin of everything. Atato Brahman Arminya Janmadya Shayata. That is a fact. But even more special is the father and mother have unconditional love for their children. Yes? A good father. And Krishna is the best father. His love is perfect. Radharani's love is absolutely perfect. Even if the children hate the parents, even if the children rebel against the parents, still, it's the nature of the mother and father to love that child, to do anything for that child, because the love is unconditional. In this material world, it's the closest thing to pure love. The love between or the love of a mother or father for the child. In the beginning, when the child is young, the parents expect nothing from the child. They just give and give and give. The child is passing urine and stool on the mother, and the mother's laughing. If anybody else does that to the mother, she's not going to laugh. She'll be extremely offended. But when the child does it, oh, very nice. Do it to somebody else's mother and see what happens. And as they grow up, you don't know. Sometimes wild, sometimes confused, sometimes very obedient. Either way. That's the nature of the love of mother and father. Good mother and father. So Krishna says, Aham Bija Pratapita. I am the father and mother of all living beings, every living entity. It doesn't mean simply that everything is coming from Krishna. It means that Krishna has that intimate, personal love for every living being in all of existence. That is his achinta shakti. That is his power. He could love everyone and make everyone feel that I'm the only one that Krishna loves. There's no envy or jealousy in the spiritual world because Krishna's love is so perfect and complete that everyone feels totally satisfied. No one is thinking why Krishna is paying more attention to someone else, why he didn't look at me today, he looked at somebody else. This is material. Because devotees, they only want to please Krishna. They don't want Krishna to please them. They simply want to please Krishna. That's love. And Krishna only wants to please them. And in this material existence, because Bhagavad Gita was spoken to people in the material world, there's no need for Krishna to say in Goloka, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka Puna Ravartuna Arjuna, that if from the highest planet to the lowest are all places of misery, the one who attains me never takes birth again. Goloka. It's irrelevant. So Bhagavad Gita is for people of this world to teach us how to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So he's speaking to all of the fallen souls in this world. I am your father. I am your mother. I unconditionally, intimately love you. And no matter what you do, I may punish you. I may rectify you. I may, through material nature, you know, the laws are working. But it's all ultimately to bring you back to your true happiness. So here is this little boy, son of the person who hated Krishna more than anyone else in the universe. No one hated Krishna more than Hiranyakashipu. He had every argument and every reason to hate Vishnu. First of all, he was his prime competitor. And in the world of competition and politics, it could be very ugly, this type of competition. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be the controller of everything. But Vishnu was. Hiranyakashipu wanted to be unconquerable, but there was only one person who could conquer him. Vishnu. He hated Vishnu. And then to add insult to injury, Hiranyakashipu's closest colleague, his own brother, Vishnu killed him as Varahadeva. Oh, how he hated Vishnu. And because he hated Vishnu, he hated all Krishna's devotees. He made a law. He sent his rakshasas and his asuras to invade any temple, destroy it. Wherever Vishnu is being worshipped, punish them, torture them, kill them. Krishna likes cows, kill and eat all the cows. Burn all the houses. Very, very difficult. And here was Arivo, so nice to see you. Please, please. Can we give this? Much louder, please. Hare Krishna. So this is the beginning of the love manifesting, that Vishnu sends his dearest devotee, Narada Muni, to preach to Prahlad when he's in the womb of his mother, when he's in his most innocent state, and his mind is very much a clear slate. And Narada Muni, Krishna's love comes through his devotee in this world. This is the beginning. Krishna manifests his love in this world through his devotees. Not directly. And how does his devotee show love? Through sound vibration. The book marathon is about to begin. How is Krishna showing his love to this world through his devotees? And Prabhupada is the embodiment of Krishna's love and Krishna's words. Srila Prabhupada said, I am not writing these books. Krishna is writing these books through me. By giving people Prabhupada's books, we're allowing them to hear from Prabhupada. And who is Prabhupada? He's in the parampara of Narada Muni. Narada Muni spoke to Prahlad and delivered him. And Narada Muni is speaking through Prabhupada. Krishna, through Narada Muni, through the parampara, is speaking through Prabhupada to deliver all the people of this world, whoever accepts. Of course, everyone has their free will. Narada Muni spoke to Prahlad and his mother. Narada accepted, the mother didn't. That's just free will of the living entities. So some may become, their hearts may be transformed by reading these books. Some may not. Some may accept the books, some may reject the books. That's the way it always is. But by distributing these books, what are we doing? We are instruments of Krishna showing love to his children in this world by giving the message. That's how Krishna showed love to Prahlad, by giving the message. Like Prahlad, we are all surrounded by so many materialistic forces, especially in Bombay. Like Prahlad, we have so many influences around us and influences of the past. It's the sound vibration which manifests the mercy of the Lord that the devotees are offering. That is Krishna's love. When Srila Prabhupada encouraged us to distribute these books, he was encouraging us to be instruments of Krishna's love. To actually take the role of Narada Muni to all the Prahlads in this world, who are potentially pure devotees. So, the Lord spoke through Narada. and gave Prahlad love for Krishna. That's where the love began. Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistarapaya Chakeva. Love of God begins by serving Vaishnavas. Narada Prahlad reciprocated by following the teachings of Narada. Even in the most difficult circumstances possible. Some of you may think, how can I follow the pure teachings of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, in a city like Bombay? In my office? In my house where not everyone is devotees? Oh, how impossible. Oh, how terrible. Prahlad's the standard. Compared to the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu, Bombay is like Vrindavan. It's really demoniac there. 100% every single person in that whole kingdom hated Vishnu and were totally engrossed in supporting Hiranyakashipu's demoniac activities. And Prahlad was not just watching from the outskirts. He was right in the heart. He was every day dealing with his father. Hare Krishna. But still, my Guru Maharaj has given me these instructions I must follow. And he did. That's love. Love for the spiritual master is to follow his teachings. And the more the love is tested, the more the love is nourished. When gold is put in fire, it shines brighter and becomes purer. If there wasn't temptations, if there wasn't aversions, if there wasn't past bad habits that are within our minds, we wouldn't really be tested. But in that test is the time when we could really show that there's love. Love is something very deep. Krishna reciprocates with love. Prahlad was tested. And he was tested just to show us that no matter how bad it is, it's not so bad. And we can do it. Yasya prasada bhagavat prasada. He wasn't directly approaching God. He was following the order of his guru. And he had so much faith. He didn't really care whether he lived or died, because he understood that the soul is eternal. He only concerned with loving Krishna. That's all. And therefore, he was always Krishna conscious. This is how Prahlad reciprocated and showed his love. How Prahlad loved his guru and Krishna. This is really a love story. You know, Romeo and Juliet killed each other because they couldn't meet. But what is Prahlad and Narasingha? This is real love. Prahlad was intimidated by the most powerful, cruel, angry man in the world. And he lived with him constantly. Not only was Prahlad obedient to his guru and Krishna through all circumstances, but he was always kind and forgiving to his father. Because he saw Krishna in the heart of his father. He loved his father. This is love. In the Christian faith, it is a very cardinal principle. Love your enemies. If you love your friends but hate your enemies, anyone could do that. It doesn't take much of a great person to love their friends and hate their enemies. Of course, in this day and age, hardly anybody even loves their friends. Because if their friend does one little thing or says one little thing, they become their enemy. Yes? How long do friendships endure in this world? But still, common people could love their friends. But a great person loves their friends unconditionally and loves their enemies as well. Why and how is Prahlad loving his enemy? This was Prahlad's, in school, his main objection. That you're teaching all about friends and enemies. This is how to exploit your friends. This is how to exploit your enemies. They're two different categories. This is how to make allies with friends, and this is how to conquer enemies, or sometimes make allies with enemies for your own purposes. But for Prahlad, Aham Bija Pratapita, Krishna's the father of all living beings. These are all Krishna's children. If I love my father, I cannot hate any of his children. I see his presence in everyone's heart. So he had unconditional love for everyone. This is how he reciprocated with the love of Krishna. Krishna gave me so much, all I have to give him is my love. And yes, he withstood every kind of test. Being thrown in oceans, being thrown off mountains, being fed poison, being held in blazing fire, being cast into pits of venomous snakes, being pierced by tridents and lances, being put in freezing cold, boiling oil. He was really tested. It wasn't about just tamstatikshesva bharata. It wasn't just about tolerance. He tolerated. But his tolerance was an expression of his love. This is to the degree Prahlad valued what Narada Muni gave him. That what I've been given, tolerating all these circumstances, is just a small price to pay back. He never complained. He didn't say, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? I'm your devotee. No, Narada Muni has given me, you have given me so much love, this is just a token gesture to repay you. That was his mood. It's about love, that's all. So Prahlad maintained his love for the Lord and lived by it through the most trying circumstances. And the Lord was enjoying watching it. The Lord was being conquered by Prahlad at every moment. And ultimately, the Lord was reciprocating. No matter what Hiranyakashipu tried to do, not only could he not kill Prahlad, he could not distract Prahlad's faith. He couldn't even get Prahlad to complain. Can you imagine? Not once did Prahlad ever complain. Not once did Prahlad ever criticize anyone.
He definitely preached very strongly to Hiranyakashipu, but it was only for his benefit. It wasn't criticism. This is really how the Lord protected Prahlad. Neophyte people, materialistic people, they will say, just see how Prahlad was, his life was protected by the Lord. Hiranyakashipu could not kill him. Krishna says, my devotee is never vanquished. Just see, this is the evidence. Prahlad could not be killed. That's true. But that's an external understanding. Go beneath the veneer and we'll find a much deeper and richer treasure. The Lord protected Prahlad in a way that Hiranyakashipu, not only couldn't he kill his body, he had no power to kill his faith. He had no power to kill his devotion. He had no power to kill his love. That's the substance of Prahlad. And despite Prahlad just rising above these tribulations in such miraculous ways, he never became proud. The Lord protected him from ego. He was always humble. Because Prahlad desired this so much. Everything is based on our desire. It's not just that Prahlad was such a great yogi that he could just control his mind and senses so intensely in all these situations. He was only 5 years old. Hiranyakashipu went to the Mandala Mountain and Mandara Mountain for thousands of celestial years to do tapasya. We don't hear about Prahlad fasting or standing on his toes. We don't even see him doing asanas or anything like that. He's just a devotee. He's just a five-year-old child. But he had the desire. His guru implanted within his heart this desire for pure devotional service. And he wanted so much to be loyal and faithful to Krishna and his guru. And because he wanted it so much, and he did everything within his power, Krishna tells in Gita, if you surrender to me, I will preserve whatever little you have, and I will supply whatever you lack. Now, how much does a five-year-old child have, and how much does he lack? But because Prahlad learned from his guru how to cry out for Krishna's mercy, Krishna supplied him everything. He empowered him by not allowing him to lose his faith or his devotion or his love. He was completely loyal, faithful. Ashlisya vapadaratam panashtuma madarshana maramahatam korotuva yatata tata vidatatu lampato mat prananatastu se eva napara. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us in Shikshastakam. What is love? My Lord, I am your servant unconditionally. You can do whatever you like with me. You can embrace me. You can trample on me. You can make me brokenhearted by not being present before me. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu loved to hear this story of Prahlad. What was Prahlad's mood? I am your devotee unconditionally. It's not just a matter of trampling on me or embracing me. Sometimes Prahlad would feel Krishna embracing him.
But my Lord, you can do anything you like with me. You could throw me in pits of snakes. You could throw me all alone into fire or into oceans or off cliffs. You all remember our trip to Ahovalam, the Ugrastamba? How would you like to be thrown off that? Prahlad was thrown off cliffs higher than that. Could we pray like this? My Lord, you could throw me when you're up there looking down. Can you honestly say, my Lord, if you like, throw me? This is Ashlisya Vaparidatam Panashtuma. Prahlad lived it. I am your servant unconditionally. Reciprocation of love. Krishna gave him his guru. He gave him his message. Prahlad valued it so deeply, he reciprocated with his love unconditionally. And here we find the Supreme Lord Krishna again reciprocating with, well, he was reciprocating with Prahlad all along. He was empowering him, he was empowering his faith, he was empowering his devotion, and he was protecting his life. He was there with him at all moments, reciprocating with Prahlad's love. It's amazing. It's spectacular. It's incredible. It's unbelievable. We're thinking love affairs is a man and a woman in the cinemas and they're dancing around trees together or whatever. But here we find real love. Where Prahlad's in a pit of snakes and the Supreme Lord and him are having the most intimate love affair down there. Yes? Where he's submerged under the ocean and a big mountain is put on top of him. And Rakshasas are shouting horrible obscenities. And the most intimate, spiritual, pure, satisfying love affair is going on right there. Between the Lord and Prahlad. Within the heart. It's really amazing. This is love. All this physical stuff is not love. It's the reciprocation of the heart that is love. Prahlad was simply loving the Lord in that situation, and the Lord was simply loving his devotee. And at a certain point where Hiranyakashipu was about to try to sever Prahlad's head with his own sword, Prahlad was so innocent. He was always just speaking the truth to Hiranyakashipu with such politeness. He never got mad at his father. He would just speak the truth. It was amazing. My father, you're just too attached to sense gratification. You're living in a deep, dark well. He's living in Indra's palace. And what he had to do to get Indra's palace. He had to do thousands of years of tapasya. He had to fight wars against all the demigods. They weren't easy wars either. After all that trouble, he finally attains Indra's palace. And his own son says, Father, you're just living in a despicable, disgusting, dark, deep well. Because you're too attached to your selfish, egoistic sense gratification. The only way out, to take the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, to be a humble servant of the servant of the servant of Vishnu's devotees. That's what little Prahlad is telling his father. But he's telling him out of love, because he really cares. And he didn't care about the consequence. He only cared, but, you know,
maybe something will stick, even if he gets really mad at me. Because Krishna's happy that I'm trying to help him. Book distribution, you know, people may hate you, they may chastise you, but it doesn't matter. Like Prahlad's, we're just trying. Prabhupada gave us that service. We should be in that mood. It's a reciprocation of love. Prabhupada gave us so much, we're trying to give it to others. Krishna gave Prahlad so much, he was trying to give it to others. Gave it to his father, gave it to his classmates, gave it to Sandana Marka, his teachers, whoever. Out of love. Out of gratitude. So Lord Narasingadev, he kept the promise of Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, "Where is your God?" Prahlad said, "He's everywhere." "Is he in this pillar?" "He's everywhere. He's in the pillar too." Hiranyakashipu smashed that pillar with his fist and came to Prahlad with his sword. And just to protect the word of his devotee, the Lord incarnated from the pillar as Sri Narasingadev. And this whole fight between Narasingha and Hiranyakashipu. Again, there's so many levels we can see everything. On one level, it's his anger toward the demons. But on a deeper level, that whole battle was just Narasingadev's love for Prahlad. That's all. It was the Lord is unlimited, and he could express his love in so many ways. And for Lord Narahari, he was expressing his love for Prahlad by this immense battle with Hiranyakashipu. And it lasted about half the day. And just to show his love for Lord Brahma, the Lord exterminated Hiranyakashipu without violating any of the blessings that Brahma gave him. This whole lila is just the love of the Lord for his devotee. Reciprocation. Prahlad went through so much for the Lord will go through so much for his devotee. And he elongated the fight just to increase his own rasa of expressing his love for Prahlad and showing all of us how the Lord is willing to do so much for his devotee. And after he kills Hiranyakashipu, throws him down, then battles against and destroys his armies who attacked him. Narasingadev is so angry. But what was that anger? That anger was an expression of his love for Prahlad. His anger was an expression of his love for someone who tried to hurt his own child. It's just like if a big brother beats up a little brother. Yes, the parent becomes very angry at the big brother. May even punish him. Yes? It's out of love primarily for the little brother, but also for the big brother.
Lord Narsingadev is the father of Hiranyakashipu too. He tore him apart out of love, and he protected Prahlad out of love. Nothing but love. For Krishna, there's nothing but love. And all varieties of expressions of that love. Therefore, it's perfect. Anger is absolutely perfect when the Lord is angry, because it's purely unconditional love for his devotee and for everyone. But as soon as, for us, as soon as our anger is based on a selfish frustration, that anger is no longer love. It becomes a perverted reflection. But the origin of anger is love. The origin of lust is love. The origin of greed is love. The origin of pride is love. In God and in his pure devotees and in the spiritual world, all of these are there, but with no false ego. They're all for the pleasure of Krishna, and Krishna does it all for the pleasure of his devotees. So the path of bhakti is not to annihilate these qualities, but to reconnect them with our heart as expressions of love. After killing Hiranyakashipu, in this verse, well, Prahladov, he was so angry, Narasimhadev, that even the demigods could not approach him. They just never saw anything so angry like this. You see, Prahlad could recognize it as the sweetness of his love. But others could not recognize that. They just saw it as anger. They knew it was pure. They knew it was transcendental. But they weren't feeling that love in his anger the way Prahlad was. So they couldn't approach him. Brahma was standing, trembling. Shiva, what to speak of Indra and the others? They asked Lakshmi to approach him. He's too angry. Try to pacify him. Lakshmi said, I've never seen my husband like this before. I can't even recognize him. Even Lakshmi could not approach him. And then Prahlad was asked. Why didn't Prahlad just run right up at the beginning? Because he was so humble. He considered everybody else more qualified than him. It's the nature of a devotee. Prahlad didn't go and say, all of you are just scared. I'm not scared. Prahlad was thinking, they're all superior to me. I'm just, you know, born in a family of demons. I have no good qualifications. This is the way he's thinking. And here are demigods who are, you know, my Brahma is his param guru. Very powerful people. It wasn't until he was asked. And then with great humility, with no fear in his heart. Why no fear? Because he saw that anger as the Lord's love. Srila Prabhupada told us when during World War II, I believe it was the Japanese were bombing Calcutta, bombing the city, planes going overhead, and air raid sirens going off, and there was air raid shelters where you go underground to protect yourself from the bombs. Everyone was running in panic. Prabhupada was cooking puris. He didn't go. He didn't go to the air raid shelter. He was considering that this is my Lord coming. Like the Virat Rupa. My Lord is coming in the form of these bombs. He was seeing God's love in that. There was no fear. On one level, to be fearless is when you could control your senses and you're not attached to the body. Then you become fearless. But bhaja huremana sri nandanandana abhaya charana ravindare. This is a whole nother level of fearless. In bhakti, everything is founded on love. Military people are fearless because they have a real soldier is so much dedicated to his or her country or the cause that they're fighting for that they're not afraid of dying for that cause. Rather, if we win the war, it's glorious. If I die, it's glorious. There's no fear. And sometimes the passion of battle just makes a kshatriya fearless. And then there's another type of people who are fearless, who are jnanis, who have realized, I'm not this body. I'm not this mind. I'm aham brahmasmi. Socrates, when they wanted to poison him, they said, first, you can't, he was in prison, and they give him the poison, say, drink this and die. He says, you can't kill me till you could find me. They couldn't understand. He drank it with no fear at all, because he understood, I'm not this body. Vasamsi janani yathavihaya, it's just a change of dress, no problem. That's fearless. But in Prahlad's case, in Prabhupada's case, fearlessness is something much more deeper. Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charanara vindare. He's not praying, my mind, just meditate on Brahman and you'll be fearless. Meditate on the son of Nanda and you will be fearless. Because in love, you recognize your Lord's love in every situation. And you just reciprocate. Everyone has to die sometime. So let me just, whether I die from a bullet, or whether I die from a disease, or whether I die from being executed, or whether I die from old age, not all that much difference. Let me just die remembering you, my Lord, thinking of you. Antakali chamami vasmanan maktva kalevanam. If we remember Krishna, we go back to Krishna. Krishna doesn't specify the particular way you die. It's universal. Any way you die, young or old, gradual or swiftly, any way you die, remembering Krishna, you're going to go to Krishna. And you have to die. So just remember Krishna. Bhajahuremana, what do we have to fear? To the degree we love Krishna, we love living for Krishna, we love dying for Krishna. We're Krishnas. I am yours. I am for you. Maro birako bijo ichatohar Nitya Krishna Das Bhakti Vinod Thakur. You can protect me or you can kill me. I'm yours, Krishna. Do whatever you like. That's love. In love, there is the highest level of fearlessness. It's no longer just an indifference to pain and death or failure. In love,
It's a reciprocation. Whatever you do to me, Krishna, you could give me everything, you could take everything away, I'm yours. Because I love you. That's Prahlad. The Lord took everything away from Prahlad. The only thing he had was his remembrance of Krishna. And Prahlad was completely satisfied. Hiranyakashipu had everything except remembrance of Krishna, and he was always miserable. There's a good moral to this story. What do we really want? Out of love, Narasimhadev, or Prahlad approaches Narasimhadev, where nobody else could approach, and just offers his prostrated obeisances. And just seeing Prahlad, Narasimhadev, his heart melts. All his anger goes away, and he becomes absolutely peaceful. And Prahlad offers these prayers. We have just heard some of the prayers of Prahlad over the past couple weeks in our Srimad Bhagavatam classes. Profound prayers that have led and enlightened the lives of great souls for millions and millions of years. Spoken with love. These prayers are, again, Prahlad is reciprocating with the Lord, who has just physically removed all obstacles and stood before him. And hearing the prayers of Prahlad, the Lord is conquered and again reciprocates with his love in this verse by offering him any benediction. My dear Prahlad, most gentle one, best of the family of Asuras, all good fortune unto you. I am very much pleased with you. It is my pastimes to fulfill the desires of all living beings, and therefore you may ask from me any benediction that you desire to be fulfilled. The Lord fulfills the desires of all living beings. How he does so is so perfect, but so mysterious. Because many of you probably feel that the Lord is not fulfilling all your desires. Yes? Maybe economically, maybe emotionally, maybe the way your family is existing, maybe the way your mind and senses are disturbing you. Yes? So why the Lord says he's fulfilling everyone's desires? The fact that you're in this position is because he's fulfilled your desires. You want to do something that harms others, he fulfills your desires, he lets you do it. But then you have to get the karma consequence. All the karma consequences that we have is because the Lord has fulfilled our desires, but we had the wrong desires. He let us do things. He fulfilled our desire to do things that are harmful to us. So he's fulfilling our desires, but he's also giving us the reaction. Does that make sense? Radha Gopinath, would you like to give a Bhagavad Gita seminar explanation to either refute or elaborate on this? Give microphone to Radha Gopinath.
Someday when I understand, I will elaborate on this.
That means I'm confusing you. The Lord is saying, I'm fulfilling everyone's desires. We want to come to this world, he lets us come to this world.
He gives us free will. But then we have to accept the reaction. So the Lord's fulfilling everyone's desires. And here he's offering Prahlad directly any benediction he wishes. It's his love for Prahlad. He's conquered by Prahlad. He wants... Narsingadev is giving Prahlad in total himself. Why? Because Prahlad gave in total himself to Narsingadev. This is love. And Prahlad doesn't want anything. He has the Lord. In the Mahaprakash Lila of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and other places also in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, we find the same phenomena, the same truth, where the Lord is offering his devotee anything, everything. Sridhar, Kolavecha, Murari Gupta, Mukunda, Gangadas, Srivas, Advaita. He's offering him anything. Haridas. And the devotees always say the same thing. Just seeing you, I'm satisfied. The Lord has given himself to the devotee. Sadhunam hridayam mayam, sadhunam hridayam. My devotee gives everything from gives himself or herself to me. I give myself to my devotee. What could Prahlad want? The Lord is not just standing before him. The Lord is giving his complete love to Prahlad. And Prahlad is feeling that love. And you're asking me for a benediction? You're already giving me everything. The benedictions are all details. And he asks, as a reciprocation to the Lord's love, he asks for nothing for himself, he asks for others. Because he knows that will please the Lord. He asks, give the liberation to my father. Protect me from ever forgetting you and falling into illusion. And as long as there's any unfortunate person living in this world forgetting you, even if they're enjoying or suffering, let me take birth to try to help them. That's all he asks for. Then the Lord's reciprocation is he makes Prahlad the king. Even though Prahlad didn't even want it, he made him the king. Because ultimately Prahlad just wanted to serve. And this is the way he could best serve. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Lord Chaitanya said the prime benediction for all humanity is the means by which the Lord becomes ours and we become the Lord's through love. And that is possible through the congregational chanting of the holy name. Question? Yes, Prishabhanu Prabhu. Speaking of fathers.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for a very fascinating class. There are some examinations in which students are allowed the use of books, and despite using books, they fail because they don't see the subtleties of the questions asked or whatever, or they are not prepared properly. So sometimes a thought comes in my mind that Krishna consciousness is also something like that. Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness, the process, Srila Prabhupada has given everything to us. We receive so much from the spiritual master. And yet, it seems that the anarthas in us assume such subtle but gigantic proportions that there is a fear in the heart that we may never ever pass the examination when the real crux of the situation arises in our lives. So how do we deal with this situation where we find that days are passing by and yet we are more or less under the spell of Maya in its subtle way of working?
We have to learn what is the books telling us. In an exam where you could use your book and you could look up the proper answers, but still, because you don't understand the spirit of what the book is saying, you can still fail the exam. That's what you said? So similarly, we have our books, but we have to understand the spirit of the book and apply it when the examination comes. And the spirit is that we need to take shelter. Daivi yeshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mama vamye prapadyante mayam etatarantite. Maya is all powerful. We're not all powerful. God is all powerful. And his spiritual energy is all powerful. And his material energy is all powerful. And we're under the influence of his material energy. We have to take shelter. Like little Prahlad, he took shelter. Like the little fish who could swim across the stream of a mighty river, because the fish has learned to take shelter. The elephant will be washed away. The strength between a little fish and the elephant is no comparison. One is defeated and one is victorious. Because the elephant, with all his strength, cannot resist the river. Because he has not learned to take shelter. But the fish can happily go about anyway. So what is Prabhupada's books telling us? We could memorize, you know, what happens when the three modes of material nature work and how they're working and how they're interacting with time and how Sankhya philosophy, we could even memorize the subjects of Rasik Tattva, Rasa Tattva, about all the intricacies of the loving affairs between Krishna and the gopis and Vrindavan and the various rasas. We could memorize those things. And we can memorize the Sankhya aspect about all how material nature is working. But what's the spirit of all of it? The spirit is to take shelter. You cannot take shelter unless you're really genuinely humble. So yes, we have our books and we have the exams. But we have to apply the spirit of the books to take shelter. And we desperately need the association of devotees who are honestly taking shelter. Yes? We need them. You learn the books from the professor.
You learn the practical value of the books, and you understand the essence of the books from the professors. Yes? Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells you what you're supposed to do. Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna shows you. He's giving you the association of devotees who are doing it. Man manabhava mad bhakto. So we need the association of devotees. And we need the books to understand the spirit, to take shelter of the Lord, like Gajendra. We're all in the crocodile's mouth of Maya. We're all in that situation. No matter how big, no matter how intelligent, no matter how famous, we cannot conquer the crocodile unless we humbly offer the lotus flower of our submissive love to the Lord. And every time we fail an exam, instead of just becoming depressed and giving up, every time we fail, we should understand what I did wrong and what I really have to do. And it should fortify our determination to do the right thing, to humble ourselves, to take shelter. When Maya is attacking, we have to tolerate, but that's not enough. We have to really, really seriously, actively, dynamically fix our mind and senses on Krishna through our service, through our prayer, chanting the holy names, through hearing the scriptures. We have to take shelter. And when we fail, in one sense, it just reconfirms the fact that I can't do it without that shelter. We could learn from it. And we can go deeper. Fill your mind, fill your lips, fill your activities, fill everything with Krishna. That's how we take shelter. Does that answer your question?
Thank you very much, Ma.
Thank you.
Need your blessings, you want to take shelter.
Please give me your blessings.
Maharaj, in one, at one level where we fail, at least I fail, in regards to when there is a situation and one devotee sees it differently, and I could say, okay, he's seeing it from his point of view, so I should agree. But rather, in the spur of the moment, I disagree and say, no, we can do it like this. And then that leads to conflict in relationship. We know philosophically I should not do it, rather maintain that relationship. But the situation forces us to act according to our false ego. So how do you overcome this, rather than adjusting and going with our service and actually enhancing the service, but by disagreeing, we may prove them that we are right, but then that destroys the service. But this always happens when we, and I keep failing in this.
You must be speaking on behalf of someone. On behalf of me, perhaps. If we find that we have done that, when the storm of the ego kind of passes as the situation cools down, then we should rectify what we have done with our intelligence. We should be humble enough to say, you know, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Let us discuss this. No doubt sometimes situations cause us to just speak or to flare up or to speak what's within us. We should try to be disciplined to act intelligently even when those circumstances arise. But if the circumstances do get the better of us, then as soon as we realize, then we should make the right choice. We're not bound to what we do when we're in a enraged state or in a passionate state. Does that answer your question? So if you have come, if you've said that, no, this is wrong, this is the right thing, and you really believe it, but after saying that, you realize that actually what I've done is more wrong than right because of the effect that it's having, then you readjust. And you communicate and try to make things better. It's the nature of human relationships. We're all going to be making mistakes with each other. We're all at certain times going to be some, either intentionally or unintentionally mistreating each other due to circumstances. And that's natural. The question is, how do we rectify it? How do we deal with it after it's done? We should try not to do it. But inevitably, these things happen. We have to put the higher principles of what pleases Guru and Krishna on top of our own opinions, our own passions. What does Guru and Krishna want? And if we're sincere, we'll understand that. Or we'll ask. Anything else? Is that answering your question, or is it something more subtle than we're comprehending?
And many times we have heard you answer. We remember what you say, but still when that situation comes, we keep failing. At least that is the frustration. So today you can bless us then. We should
try to learn and not do that. But even if we do, it's not so bad if we rectify it properly. And rectification means to harmonize on a higher level for a higher purpose. Yes, Sri Rama Prabhu.
Maharaj, thank you very much for this wonderful sound vibration manifestation of yours today. You mentioned in your class that Krishna shows his love through the sound vibration, and you are showing your love to us with this. Maharaj, connecting the question, the reply of Rishabhanu Prabhu and Govind Prabhu, you mentioned that that even if you keep on failing the test, and Govind Prabhu also, you mentioned that if we fail, then we have to ask for we can ask for apologies. But Maharaj, sometimes it is very frustrating. Every time you can't fail a test, Maharaj. Every time a test comes, you keep on failing. How can a person take it, and that's what is my situation, that every time a particular test comes, you fail and you fail and you fail, and it's not once, but it is always a failure. So that really depresses us, and especially when we hear the classes of the spiritual master, and there's so much high expectations he sets for us, and one level you are miserably failing time and again, and one level a very high standard of expectation is set by the spiritual master through a sound vibration. So it really makes us very, very stressful of what is expected and what we are. So it causes a tremendous stress in our lives, spiritual stress, and leading to frustration sometimes, and leading to despondency. So I really wanted to seek your help on this very auspicious day, Maharaj, on how to really take how do you really take care of the situation? Because every time I hear a class, not one, but there are 5-6 messages which we hear. And, you know, it's difficult to follow one, and how to follow 6 of them or 8 of them, which you said. And at the same time, the tests are so very, you know, every time you fail at the test. Maharaj, every time in a grihastha life, Maharaj, the wife has a relationship, you always failing, Maharaj, because you always have to ask apologies. That's all. Half the time goes in just asking apologies. Half the time in the grihastha ashram, Maharaj, because we are insulting each other.
Who's insulting who?
Each other, Maharaj.
Each other means?
The wife and husband, husband and
okay,
the wife. So Maharaj, you know, there is just time is just going in creating neutrality rather than doing something positive.
Your wife is laughing blissfully.
So Maharaj, this is not the only thing, Maharaj, but the test of how to control anger and how to say no to Maya. We are miserably failing, Maharaj. So and the standards are so high. Please help, Maharaj.
Govinda Prabhu will bless you. Grihastha life is a very powerful training ground for pure devotional service. Grihamedi life is a training ground for material bondage. We shouldn't be in so much stress or distress. We should every time we make a mistake we should atone for that mistake. Atonement is very powerful. If you just keep making mistakes and don't ask forgiveness, don't atone, don't do something, some spiritual prayaschitta, then the tendency is that we don't take it seriously. But we should condition ourselves to act in a proper way after we make mistakes like this. We should humble ourselves. We should admit our faults. And we should take shelter and keep trying. Just keep trying. Be sincere. Have the right intention. And sincerely keep trying.
Krishna sees your intention. And Krishna sees your sincerity. Even if you make these little mistakes. He'll see your sincerity and your intention by your prayer, by your desire, by how you're really trying to take shelter of your sadhana to give you strength, by how you're really taking shelter of the Vaishnavas to give you strength. This is what's going to show him that you're sincere. And when you do make mistakes, that you're willing to make some rectification and not just, you know, take a proud stand. That will also show Krishna your sincerity. And that's what bhakti's about. The problem is, you're not Prahlad. Yes? We all still have material conditionings. We all still have our false egos to some extent. We all still have bad habits that we just fall into. Maya presents herself and we just fall into bad habits. We have to really be serious to try to replace our bad habits with good habits. If your tendency is to criticize, try offering honor and respect. It's not just sentimental. Try introducing good habits, good disciplines, and replace the bad ones with that. And if you're sincere and you're taking shelter of the right places, Krishna can empower you. Can empower all of us. Most important thing is we know what's right, we're striving for it, and we keep trying. And in the meanwhile, we're taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam, Vaishnavas, deities, holy name, and devotional service. And don't be disheartened. We should not be disheartened that we are not perfect. But we should be determined to follow the path by which Krishna will be pleased with us. Yes, Kirtita Devi.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, I'm sorry for publicly asking such a question, but it is bothering me, and since today is your appearance day, you will not be angry with me for asking. My problem is, Maharaj, I feel I have come too late into Krishna consciousness, and I find all around me youngsters, and I feel very isolated, Maharaj. I feel very lonely. And although I try to give love to people, and people also respect me a lot, but love factor is missing. And I do need someone who can guide me, because they all look upon me as a senior person. They all respect me, but there's no interaction. So I do miss that factor, Maharaj. And many times I feel very, very isolated. Please tell me what I should do, how I should take shelter.
Hmm. your humility is the cause of your anxiety, which means your anxiety is divine, it is spiritual. So just go on feeling like this. And you will certainly not only go back to Godhead, but help so many others go back to Godhead. Does that answer your question? The fact that you said no means it did. But we have to understand two things. One, that we're not these bodies. We're not old and we're not young. We're all eternal servants of Krishna. And you're only as old as you want to think you are. When you're with your grandchildren, aren't you like one of them? Yes? You're saying yes. How old are your grandchildren? Huh? From 3 years to 11. So when you're with them, you're 3 years or 11 years. Yes? I'm not going to ask your age now. But you're one of them. So their association makes you youthful. Similarly, all these young girls who are coming around you to take guidance from you, if you want to feel that I'm just an old lady who's just telling them the wisdom of the world, then that's what it is. But you don't have to feel like that. When they're coming to you, you're just one of them who just knows more. Yes? Because you've been around longer, but you're one of them. You just know more. Srila Prabhupada would play with children like a little child. But he still had the wisdom of an acharya. So you're not old. As long as you have that enthusiasm, that life to give Krishna to others and to seek Krishna yourself, you're young. You're very, very youthful. You're childlike. Yes? Just identify yourself in that way. And another thing is, we should be happy in giving. If people are coming to you and coming to you and coming to you and you're giving, 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 you should understand that there's a reciprocation of love in their receiving and your giving. You may feel yourself they're equal, even if they're 30 years younger than you. You may feel yourself they're equal in your own heart. But because they're seeking guidance and direction from you by giving that, it's a reciprocation of love. They're approaching you because they trust you. That's love. And you're giving them because you care about them. So I do not think there's any shortage of loving relationships in your life. I think it's just a matter of being able to identify it and reciprocate with it. When you think you're very great,
you become extremely isolated. As they say, it's very lonely at the top. Yes? But you can, in one sense, in the sense of hierarchy or whatever, you could be at the top. But you're only lonely when you think you're at the top. If you're really thinking, I'm just the humble servant of servant of servant of everyone, then you'll never be lonely. But if you think everyone's serving me, then it's very, very lonely. So just be who you are. Prishabhanu Prabhu, would you like to give any commentary to this? Huh? You can give a chemical analysis. I think we should end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.